Welcome to United Voices, the podcast from United Way Waterloo Region Communities, where we amplify the stories of those creating lasting impact in our community. My name is Michaela Jenkins-Moss, and I am part of the United Voices collaborative team. In this episode, we're diving into the topics of homelessness, supportive housing, and the power of community with House of Friendship, an organization that has been a vital pillar of support in Waterloo Region for 85 years. In today's episode, my colleague Brooke Ferreira is joined by House of Friendship's Housing Director, Jennifer Scott, and Senior Manager of the Shelter Care Program, Larissa Schneider. They discuss how their innovative shelter care model is transforming our community's response to homelessness. We'll explore why 24/7 wraparound support is critical and how forward-thinking initiatives like Friendship Village are helping to create lasting change. Whether you're passionate about social justice, eager to get involved, or simply just curious about how we can build a stronger, more compassionate community, this episode is for you.
So to start off, can you tell us a bit about your work at House of Friendship and the role you play there? And we're going to start with Larissa.
Great, thanks. So before I go into my role, I'd just say that the House of Friendship is a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the Waterloo region for 85 years in the areas of housing, food, addiction, and community services. We envision a healthy community where everyone can belong and thrive, and we believe in walking alongside the folks we serve to support them in achieving this. Today, we are going to focus on our housing work, and I'll begin with an introduction. So my name is Larissa Schneider. I'm the senior manager of our shelter care program with the House of Friendship. In my role, I oversee the entire shelter care program, ensuring staff safety, best practices, and community engagement. And I'll pass it to my colleague.
So I'm Jennifer Scott. I've been with House of Friendship for the past 7 years. I started my career here in volunteer management, supporting the mission of the organization by ensuring that this amazing community can get closer to the issues that they're passionate about. 2 years ago, I took a leap into the world of housing and haven't looked back. So right now I'm the housing director and I lead our housing portfolio, which includes shelter care, the program that Larissa leads, as well as our supportive and affordable housing.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. We're really excited to have you both on the podcast today. So let's just jump right into it. United Way WRC has been a supporter of shelter care from the very beginning. Can you share how shelter care came to be and what makes it different from the traditional shelter model?
Well, shelter care itself is a unique and innovative approach to tackling the homelessness crisis in the Waterloo region. And we're not new to this. We've been supporting those experiencing homelessness for 85 years. That's how we started way back when. We started by providing a meal and a warm place to sleep. And as time went on, our ability to respond to the ever-growing homelessness issue in the Waterloo region, we just couldn't keep up. At that time, before shelter care, the shelters would open at 9 a.m. or close at 9 a.m. and open at 9 p.m. for just a bed to sleep in and a meal. And that led to a lot of instability and consistency in achieving any progress towards achieving housing or maybe getting on some medication to help or accessing medical services. So what really moved us in this direction was the COVID-19 pandemic. For the first time in our history, we had to shut our doors. We moved all of our participants into a hotel. And this was a really different way of operating. We now had to be open 24/7, providing meals, and the guys had access to a room, a shower at any time they needed, and having staff on site all the time to support. With this, we were able to bring in healthcare providers to be on site at all times. So no longer did they have to go out into the community to access healthcare, but it was right there on site, which for us created instant results. We saw a reduction in overdoses almost immediately, and our staff were able to follow people throughout their journey and get them into housing even throughout the pandemic. So with the support of our donors and the United Way, we were able to secure a motel in Waterloo. And this is now our shelter care building. We've been operating for 2 years, just over 2 years. Shelter care provides shelter to 100 men experiencing homelessness in the Waterloo region. We're open 24/7. We provide healthcare, addiction, and mental health care supports embedded within our program. We also offer therapeutic recreation, primary care, physiotherapy, hearing and vision clinics, and many other programs. All of our participants who stay with us, they now have a dignified space to rest their head, enjoy meals and programming, and work alongside our staff to achieve their goals. This new approach provides the necessary wraparound supports they need to address today's growing homelessness crisis. And we are in a crisis in the region. A recent study conducted by the region has said that nearly 2,300 individuals are experiencing homelessness, which reflects an almost 30% increase in the average rate of homelessness year after year since 2020. And this is expected to triple by 2030. Shelter care is not the only way to offer shelter, but it proves that there was a different way to respond to the crisis. And we've seen great success. We've had over 80 people achieve sustainable housing since staying with us. And beyond that, just building the skills to achieve and stay in housing and access medical and mental health and addiction support services in the community, linked with our partners.
Wow. Thank you so much. That's amazing that you were able to adapt like so quickly. I know it was a crisis and you were thrown into it, so you had to kind of work fast, but that is awesome that you guys were able to adapt and that it's still seeing success today. So you mentioned the 24-hour support. Can you maybe just share a bit more about how these services make a difference in people's lives?
Yeah. So many of our participants struggle with mental health, addiction issues, and other healthcare concerns. And this can make it really difficult to achieve long-term housing. And many individuals, they struggle with accessing the traditional healthcare system, whether that's because of experiences that they've had or stigma or waiting in the hospital and, you know, just different things going on. It creates a lot of barriers. So having this 24/7 support through our staff and our healthcare team, it builds trust and rapport building and consistency. So for the first time for a lot of people, they're accessing primary care, and it's embedded within our program. So things like first aid, immunization, or other different access to primary care services. And in addition to this impact on healthcare related needs, we also work with our participants to build life skills that are important for maintaining housing outside of the shelter system. And just one little way that we do that is through our participant volunteer program. This is where people can develop skills like time management, working with others, collaborating, building their self-esteem, and a shared responsibility for the program itself. So we offer volunteer opportunities in our kitchen with cooking, cleaning, and maintenance activities throughout the building. These skills learned through the volunteer program are transferable to the workforce and in helping them secure housing. And it might seem simple, but some people haven't worked in a decade or haven't had to maybe respond to a boss telling them how to prepare cookies. And so these little things just help little by little build their confidence to get out of the system and achieve housing. So one kind of example we can share, which wasn't directly related to the volunteer program, but we did have a participant come forward and he wanted to get involved. He wanted to volunteer and do something for our participants. And he suggested a basketball tournament. So we actually brought in some community partners. We brought in WRPS and our staff played like for half a day out in the sun. And it was really fun. It was like a 4-on-4 basketball tournament. And we also had a lot of participants come out and cheer on the players. And it was just a way to build that sense of community at shelter, build self-esteem, have people being seen more than just, you know, somebody who's homeless, but someone who's really good at basketball or someone who wants to cheer on and support somebody else. And it was a lot of fun, and it builds that sense of community, which can carry on outside of the shelter system.
Yeah, that sense of community and the consistency is really important because being homeless comes with a lot of uncertainty. So like building that rapport and connecting with people is extremely important. And that's something that we've been hearing from other people that we've been interviewing and just in the community in general. So thank you so much for highlighting that again. And that's a wonderful story. For those who may not be familiar, can you explain how supportive housing helps break the cycle of homelessness?
So the supportive housing model of care is a lifeline program for people who are experiencing homelessness. It's a critical step on the journey to help people leave the rotating door of homelessness behind. Supportive housing is a way of providing long-term support for people who are recovering from the trauma of homelessness. This program provides both deeply affordable housing and on-site supports. So what this looks like at House of Friendship, we have our two supportive housing programs, two supportive housing buildings, downtown Kitchener, EB Village and Charles Village. Anyone who is identified as chronically homeless, meaning that they've been unhoused for 6 months or more, are eligible to join our program. So when they move in, they're assigned a caring support worker and are provided with on-site support and programming to ensure long-term stability and community building. So you would think that once you have a roof over your head, that everything falls into place. We know from shelter care that that's not really the reality. The reality is that transitioning into supportive housing is incredibly difficult and requires a lot of hard work. A roof over your head is a start, but it's not enough to change a life. And this is where the supportive housing model kicks in. The key to stopping the cycle of homelessness is two things: addressing the root causes and underlying health conditions, and growing a person's independence so they can stay housed. Evidence shows that when we support only basic needs like a roof and a bed, the behaviors and challenges remain, which continues the cycle. So getting to the core trauma supports a person to heal and move forward. And at House of Friendship, we do this very strategically through programs.
You answered this a little bit already, and you mentioned that homelessness may lead to social isolation and just the importance of building community. So how does programming at House of Friendship help people reconnect with their communities and rebuild their lives?
Yeah, we definitely have touched on this. You heard a little bit at Shelter Care of the programming that happens, and then I alluded to that within supportive housing, but I want to give you a little bit more detail of what it actually looks like. We know homelessness creates barriers to belonging for individuals experiencing it and in the communities they reside. So our programs are designed to build community and connection, whether it's recreational programming like art or music therapy or a basketball tournament or community meals, all of which are designed to allow residents to get to know one another and not feel alone. So let me give you an example of what I mean. So the community barbecues that we host, it's really not just a community barbecue. It's a social contract to show up for your friends. It's a way to practice connecting with people in a safe space. It decreases the loneliness you've been feeling, and it's an easy way to get a healthy meal into your day. So it sounds like a small thing, but for a resident who hasn't left their unit in 10 days, going to the barbecue downstairs is important. It immediately changes the narrative for that person. So instead of seeing themselves as a person who can't leave their apartment, they see themselves as a person who does. And that's the gateway to becoming the kind of person who goes outside for a walk every day, and the person who goes to the store to buy groceries. And all of these experiences add up to getting the person to see themselves as a healthy member of our community. So the staff at Shelter Care that Larissa leads and the staff at Supportive Housing, they believe in that resident way before they believe in themselves. And their job is to hold firm in believing that this person can do it. So that's the magic that happens within our programs. Having someone believe in you for what you can be is a really powerful thing. And we get the benefit of seeing that kind of believing and the confidence building every single day because of our amazing staff.
So I didn't know this either, but House of Friendship has a very long history dating back 85 years to when a women's prayer group provided meals to men in need. You've come a long way since then. Can you tell us more about your latest initiative, Friendship Village?
Yes, I'm really excited about Friendship Village. We all are here at House of Friendship. This past fall, you may have noticed the demolition of our former admin building at 51 Charles and our former shelter building. So those buildings have been brought down, and we are paving the way and laying the foundation for Friendship Village. So building on Shelter Care's success in two phases, Friendship Village will provide 170 units of supportive and affordable housing, along with a community hub that integrates healthcare directly into housing. Friendship Village will feature three levels of care across a housing continuum that supports residents in addressing their unique healthcare needs while building community. As the level of support a person needs decreases, they can remain in the village while accessing the right level of care. This project goes beyond simply providing housing. It ensures access to addiction and mental health services, primary health care, and social supports all under one roof. We expect construction of the first phase to begin later this year, and I would encourage listeners, if they want to learn more, to reach out on our website, houseoffriendship.org/friendshipvillage.
Thank you so much. So like you mentioned, Friendship Village will provide 170 supportive housing units, offering not just a place to live, but also built-in support system and a sense of community. What impact do you hope this project will have?
We see quite a few impacts that quite a few hopes for impact for this program. I mean, we're building on the success of shelter care. We've learned a lot about health integrated housing, and really the benefits of this health integrated approach are clear. Studies show that supportive housing with on-site health services leads to fewer emergency service calls and fewer inpatient hospital stays, benefiting not only the individual we're serving, but also reducing strain on our healthcare system. By addressing the root causes of homelessness, we're setting people up for long-term success and a pathway out of homelessness. For the individuals who will be moving into our supportive housing units in the next 2 years, they will have access to the healthcare resources they need to become healthier and maintain their housing. We know that building connection and community is important. So by building in 3 different levels of care within our housing campus, Friendship Village will provide the right level of care for each person's needs, with decreasing levels of supports as people gain independence and their health improves. It will be a place for long-term healing and stability. And we're so excited to see the impacts that it'll have.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on our podcast and talking about this. So just as we wrap up, for those who are listening and want to get more involved, what are some of the best ways that people can support your work?
Come volunteer with us at Shelter Care. In our kitchen, for example, we have participants and staff who work with volunteers to prepare 3 meals and 2 snacks every day. We also need volunteers to help us with our programs or sort and organize some of our donations. You can apply on our website or always feel free to contact one of our team members to learn more about those opportunities. Another great way to get involved is consider adopting a room in Shelter Care with your business, faith group, or service club. You can donate to the amazing Friendship Village. And then upcoming in the spring is our annual general meeting, which is now called the Strawberry Social, and it will be held at Binghamton's on Tuesday, June 17th. Tickets are free, but registration is required for the event. So if anybody who's listening is interested in coming, just check out our website, houseoffriendship.org, for registration information.
House of Friendship's shelter care model is a powerful example of what's possible when innovation meets compassion, and when communities come together to support new approaches to complex challenges. United Way has been proud to support shelter care since its inception, recognizing the potential for meaningful, lasting impact right from the start. Thank you for joining us for this conversation with Jennifer Scott, Larissa Snyder, and Brooke Ferreira. Your support for United Way helps fund the critical network of organizations like House of Friendship Shelter Care. Join us next time to learn more about the incredible work that your donations make possible and the people whose lives are transformed through our collective support. Until then, let's keep building a community where everyone belongs.